You are listening to All Things Azeroth, episode number 11, for Wednesday, October 3rd, 2007. Welcome back to another exciting and thrilling episode of All Things Azeroth. This is, of course, the post-patch 2.2 episode of the show. Again, had some great comments and great feedback from everybody. I want to thank everybody who sent in comments, and I want to thank the one person who sent in a voice comment, which we'll actually play a little bit later in the show. As I said, though, this is officially the patch 2.2 show, and there's actually a lot of stuff to talk about surrounding that patch. So let's get on with the show, and let's talk about the patch. As with any big .0 patch, there's a lot of great and very interesting stuff to talk about. Some bugs, some problems, but also some great stuff. So let's get on with that part of the conversation. I had mentioned an episode or two ago that I thought the Monstrous Caleri might be rep and loot enabled in this coming patch. They had said they were going to fix the evade bug, but there was actually no exact information as to whether or not they were going to put loot and rep on them. Well, I received information last night from a fellow guildmate who had said that they had gone and killed a Monstrous Caleri, and they did get some loot, and they did get 10 rep. So that, of course, will help anybody who's after their Skyguard rep in order to get a riding space alien. Another thing that was quite evident very quickly after the patch was released is that there was a problem with mods that use tooltips and change how tooltips are used. It seemed only a few mods were a problem. For instance, Auctioneer is fine. But on the other hand, mods like Tooltip Quest Mod, Recipe Book, and others were having problems where they were preventing you from doing any tooltips at all. Disabling these mods has fixed most of the problems for most players that I've seen, but the problem is not limited to just one mod. There are many mods that are impacted by this, and I do hope that the creators of those mods will have new versions out very soon. If you go to ShadowWalkersGuild.com, there's a list of mods that I found that are actually updated, though some are still causing some problems with the most recent versions. A couple of really good things that I learned overnight is that the mining ability is now usable on Earth Elementals, which you can find in many different places around the world. The Rock Elementals could occasionally drop some interesting stuff, but overall they were just generally a pain in the butt, and often the ore would be ninja looted before you could have a chance of completely killing the mob that you were fighting. This is, a good thing. I haven't found anything decent or anything noteworthy on the mining of the Rock Elementals yet, but the fact that they are mineable is definitely a good change, and I look forward to seeing if there's any good stuff on them, say some motes of earth or maybe even some gems. We'll end up seeing. Something I learned last night, a little bit later in the day, was that druids in flight form can now pick herbs without having to shift out of their forms. I tested this morning, and it is still in effect, and I would like to note that it is very nice to be able to fly along the ground. Of course, having to fly very low, but as you cannot be dazed out of your flight form, it's a very good thing. You aren't dazed out of your flight form. If you get attacked, you can just simply hit the space bar and float up in the air out of the range of anything attacking you. And of course, you can get herbs without being harassed. I got about 2 primal manas yesterday in farming up the nether dust in the Netherwing ledge. And I've got plenty of nether dust to get me right to exalted with the Netherwing faction. While I have not noticed either of these changes being mentioned either in the documented patch notes or the undocumented changes threads posted in the forums, I am quite excited by both of these changes, as they both impact characters that I actually play and use, and it'll be very interesting to see where things go from here. Whether the change to the Rock Elementals applies to outside of the Outlands area, I'm not sure. I'll have to go back and kill some just to find out. Of course, the big thing is voice chat. Patch 2.2 is the voice chat patch. It is the main topic and main point they are advertising for this patch. And of course, there's lots to talk about in regards to that as well. The original plan going into patch 2.2, at the point of the day before, was that a select number of realms, and I'm not going to read them all for you, were supposed to get the voice chat feature enabled this morning. At 10 o'clock this morning, Pacific time, there was a post on the Blizzard forum saying that voice chat was now live on those listed realms in the voice chat thread. At 11:30 a.m., probably right before I was trying to test the feature, and I do want to thank Kazeri for his help trying to test out that feature, even if it wasn't quite working at that point, Blizzard posted another update stating that they were planning to disable the feature on those realms in order to do some further testing into the feature. Having been on a realm that actually had it mildly enabled for a short period of time, it is an interesting feature. The interface is quite simple and quite easy to understand. There is not a lot of fluff, there's not a lot of overly cumbersome controls. You have your push-to-talk feature, you have your channel selection, you have microphone and headphone levels, you have a microphone test feature, pretty much all the basics you would need from a voice service. I'm not sure what the problem is with the feature at this point, but I am overall excited to find out what it's going to sound like. If the quality of the voice chat is anything like the mic test that I did, it's not going to be great. I wouldn't actually record a show on it, but it might be interesting at least to see where things go, I guess. Another notable feature that is missing, and that is something that many blacksmiths like myself are quite eager to hear, is the Rage Teal shoulder plans. Blizzard said they are planning to add a fourth type of plan to the Rage Teal set, adding to the breastplate, gloves, and helm that were already in-game. They also lowered the set bonus, requiring only 2 pieces instead of 3 pieces, which will actually enable me to use the gloves that I have, the helm, and the shoulders without losing too much of the bonuses. However, the plans for the shoulders were actually revealed to not actually apparently be in-game yet, or at least were not thought to be in-game yet since nobody has actually found them, and there is actually reports that there's other plans from the set that are dropping in places that they should not be. Whether there is any official changes on this, whether there's any expected announcement as to where the plans for the shoulders are, we're not quite sure yet, but hopefully we'll have some information soon. I would like to point out that according to the information that we have, the mats for the Rage Steel shoulders will actually be slightly different than the other 3 pieces, where those pieces required Elixirs of Major Strength, while the shoulders will actually require Scrolls of Strength level 5. Being the kind of person I am, helpful and knowledgeable about the game, I found that I was helping a lot of people last night trying to fix problems with their mods and their games. This allowed me to hear some of the main problems that people are having, and that is sound and graphics issues. Blizzard did one change to the UI that some people are a little unhappy about, you could say. The problem arose when players logged in who had widescreens or widescreen resolutions on their World of Warcraft. Blizzard made a change wherein they are now allowing the scale of the UI to not stretch for widescreen users. I have a 19-inch widescreen LCD monitor. If I was to go full screen on my game in the previous iteration of WoW, my entire UI would look very, very bad. I've tried it. I know this to be the fact. What Blizzard is actually doing now is that your UI will stay the same. The only thing different will be the amount you see. You'll see more on the sides, is basically what I've been led to believe, I guess. The game will actually not look bad on the widescreens now, but I think that's thrown a lot of people off, and I think that change may have caused other people who are not using widescreen to have some other problems as well. I'm still waiting on screenshots from those people to try and get a better idea as to what the problem is, but I'm sure that there's some definite issues with anything that they're doing, especially when it comes to graphics and how they look on the player's screen. Of course, since they redid the sound engine and they added voice chat, there's some other problems that are arising with the sounds in the game. Some players are able to receive no sounds at all. That's bad, especially when you're in an instance that you have to hear what the mob is saying to know what's going to happen next. I'm told that for those people who are having those problems, it is a problem with there is no speaker selection in the drop-down menu for the new sound option. I'll have to see and I'll have to go take a look as to what exactly they mean, but that's the information that I'm receiving at this point. It's apparently where the Creative Sound Blaster Odyssey cards are apparently not being found by the game, and as that is a very popular, or at least was, a very popular brand of sound card, I would hope that Blizzard will fix that very soon. And now for something to cheer about.
Fantastic!
Blizzard has fixed a phishing issue. This is a bug that I complained about back in 2.1. I believe I mentioned it on the podcast here, I had complained to a GM about an unrelated issue, and I had mentioned that I was kind of concerned the fact that, yes, they had reduced the timer on the fishing, but now, as soon as the fishing timer was done, the bobber was disappearing. But if your fish snags a line right at the end, you lose your fish. Well, apparently Blizzard has fixed that, and now the fishing bobber will stick around for a few seconds after, allowing you to get your fish, even if it just bites right at the end. One of the biggest complaints that I heard is that Blizzard has added a feature that they didn't tell people was coming, but is altogether not surprising. A few days ago, WoW Insider did a piece about a new way that gold farmers were using to get around changes Blizzard had made to the gold trading business. In order to prevent gold sellers and gold buyers from being able to swap cash in-game, Blizzard was watching all trades between Q characters of gold. Not a bad thing to do, it's done all the time I'm sure, and Blizzard just has to find a way to try and beat the gold farmers. Well, the new way that gold farmers and the gold buyers were working around that was that they are putting up really large, really useless stuff like a tough hunk of bread for 500 gold. The gold farmer then buys that out, and the cash goes to the gold buyer. A good plan, but Blizzard has been forced, due to that change, to make a change of their own. Let me read for you the official statement from Blizzard on the matter. This change was implemented for the same reason that we implemented the change to how the mail works. You can read the original post that was made when we made the change to the mail system, and she gives a link. The heart of the message that should be taken into consideration for this change is this. This change will help us to better ensure the legitimacy of such transactions and further prevent the unlawful influx of currency into each realm's economy. Players will still receive their items immediately, but it will take 1 hour for the coins to show up in your mailbox. While I'm not sure this will have any lasting effect on the gold farmers, I'm sure they'll find some other way to get their money transferred. It is yet another step that Blizzard has to take, because people are always willing to buy gold, and people are always willing to sell gold. If there were no buyers, there would be no sellers. The players are the ones responsible for this. The players who are willing to buy gold. And for those who sit there and tell me that it's Blizzard's fault for making such a big game that real, hardworking adults can't afford to put the time in to make the money they need to actually progress effectively in the game, that is a cop-out. If you don't have the time to earn the money you need to raid, then maybe you should look into different raiding schedules. I have no problem with the advent of daily quests, making a lot of gold in a very short period of time. It takes me a couple of hours at most every night in order to farm that. If you can't farm it, find somebody in your guild who can. I'm sure that somebody will happily farm up a little bit of gold for you in exchange for a cut of the profits, or exchange for something you can make for them. If you're in a guild that is understanding, who cares about how their members progress, they'll do it for you, they'll help you, they'll find a way. If you aren't in a guild that'll help you, maybe you need to find a better guild. Because any guild that a reasonable player should be a part of will actually care about their members more than, are you there? If not, get out. All due respect, of course. And now that I'm almost 20 minutes into the recording schedule, I am going to do a little bit of lore.
Gather round and listen to the legends of Azeroth.
This week's Legends of Azeroth will be about the Titans and the Pantheon, which were the ruling body of the Titans. If you want some detailed information on the Pantheon and the Titans and their goals and their methods, go to the World of Warcraft website, go into Introduction, and then Story, and then go into Chapter 1. There is a lot of information there on the members of the Pantheon, the Titans, their goals, and their history, as much as we have in-game at least at this point. The Titans are colossal metal-skinned gods from the far reaches of the cosmos. They go to each world and they try and shape it, try and bring order to the world, and make it a better place to live. That is their goal. They combat the chaos, they bring order to the universe. That is their grand plan. We've already talked a little bit last week about one of the now former members of the Pantheon, Sargeras. He is the demonic lord of the Burning Legion. He is a bronze-skinned god of fire. He is the aggressor, the opposite of what the Pantheon stands for. The other members of the Pantheon are Amon-Thul, High Father of the Pantheon, bestowed a portion of his cosmic power upon the massive bronze dragon Nosdarmu. Aenar, patron of all life, gave a portion of her power to the red dragon Alexstrasza, and also blessed Alexstrasza's younger sister, the lithe green dragon Ysera. Nurgannon, the Lorekeeper and Master Magician, granted the Blue Dragon Malagos a portion of his vast power. Khazgarath, Shaper and Forger of the World, bestowed some of his vast power upon the mighty Black Dragon, Neltharion. We talked about him on the first review of a book. He is the dragon now known as Deathwing. Of course, as I said, we have Sargeras, who was the Titans' greatest warrior, defender of their worlds, and who left the ranks to form the Burning Legion. His successor in the post of Defender of the Titans was Aggramar, and while there's little known about him, it's a very interesting story about how he currently uses the blade that Sargeras broke when he left the Pantheon. In Titans, there are two different types. There are Aesir and Vanir Titans. As far as I can tell, that's sort of female and male versions, although I'm not quite sure on that. What we know about the Titans is that when they were on Azeroth, they created five cities or labs of sorts. Bel-Madon, Terramach, which is now known as Moradon, Aldamon, which we all know quite well, Elduar, which will be found in Northrend, and Uldum, which is found in Teneris, though not yet opened up for us. When the Titans came to Azeroth, they defeated the Old Gods, one of which we know is C'Thun, and they tried to shape the world into a better place. They dug out the oceans, they formed the mountains, they brought order to the world. As I said before, they also gave some of their power to the different dragonflights, giving Alexstrasza the queenship of the dragons, so to speak. I'm sure that when we have Alduar opened up, we'll find more information about them, but time will tell on that, and we'll have to see what happens there. The Titans, though, are connected to one of the races of Azeroth. Perhaps two, if we had possibly more information about the gnomes, but the dwarves were once known as Earthen. If you've been into Aldamon, you'll notice that there's some similarities between the Earthen of Aldamon and our dwarven friends. At least friends if you're Alliance, of course. The story of the dwarves was that they were Earthen who had helped the Titans shape the world, and they remained behind to try and assist in the remaining tasks to shape the world. The Earthen were created by the Titans in one of their labs. They had certain parameters that their machines could pop out these little Earthen who could help with what they needed to help with. And this is kind of where the story kind of splits off. One story goes that there were two deviations from what the machine output, I suppose you could say. One of those deviations was the dwarves. The other was the Trogs who invaded Nomurgon. The other story, which is the official story according to the WoW site, was that the Earthen, upon the sundering of the world, went and hid inside of their cities. And only after many, many, many centuries did they come out to try and see what was left of the world they had once been a part of. They had lost their Earthen and stone skin and now had more tough human skin, or dwarven skin, I suppose you could say. We don't exactly know where those dwarves came from, whether they came from Aldamon, Uldum. We do know that Bel-Madon is located as a dwarven settlement in the Barrens area. You can always go out there and check it out. It's just as you're coming out of Duskwallow Marsh. Where exactly they came from, as I said, we don't know. We do know that the dwarves and the Earthen are strongly connected, as are the Trogs to both the dwarves and the gnomes. We do know that the two races, the Trogs and the dwarves, according to the stories, seem to have been created by the Titans. And therefore, when the Titans return, there will definitely be some interesting stories to tell, and definitely some very interesting interactions between the Titans, their current servants, and their past servants who were left behind. If you want more information, I'll be sure to post in the show notes at allthingsazeroth.com and give you some links to some of the WoWWiki articles on the Titans, the Pantheon, and the Dwarves, as well as the Trogs. And now to the feedback section of the show. The first we have is from somebody named Patrick, and I don't believe it's Patrick from the instance, but Patrick says, "Good afternoon, Medros. I have a few characters on Lothar and one on Earthen Ring. So far, I am now listening to number 7 podcast. I must say your cast is much improved. I started listening to the teaser, and man, those early few were hard to listen to. You had a lot of ranting in there, and unfortunately that is really not why I like to listen. I listen to many other podcasts about WoW. I also appreciate that you got rid of or turned down the background music that you play while you talk. I found it rather distracting. Your new format is better than your earlier casts. I listened to learn about tips and news, and of course mods and general WoW knowledge. I could not agree with you more about what you were talking about in reference to ganking and Care Bear. I am not a PvPer either, and if I wanted that, I would always play a first-person shooter. I have switched a number of guilds, but in an effort to find a guild that I like. Most of the guilds that I found were either childish, but would not help you out unless you were 70th level. I rarely ask for help at this point, because I want to make sure I find the correct guild for me and my toons that are level 52 and 39, which is an adult guild that understands that I'm an adult player and have other priorities than WoW. Perhaps you could touch on the point of finding a correct guild that fits your age and style. Well, keep up the good work. P.S. I would rethink the co-host, especially the woman player whose name was Lelia. Sorry, not sure about the spelling. She was a good complement to your style, and touched a little bit more on the role-playing aspect. Just a thought. Regards, Patrick. Well, Patrick, I'm glad that you're still listening to the show up to number 7, and there's still 4 more episodes after that one to listen to, including this one as well. I'm glad to see that I've improved. That is always a good goal to have, and I agree that some of those early episodes are very hard to listen to, even for myself. I did rant a lot, and I'm trying to cut down on that, but on some topics, a rant is required, and while I beg forgiveness for the ranting that I do, I hope it is at least informative, even if it is a little bit ranty. I'm actually going to talk to a couple of people I know who run guilds, and see if I can find somebody who can come on the show and talk a little bit about different guild styles and different guild management styles, and what is the best way to find the happy medium in guild creation and guild membership. Thanks again for listening, and hope you stay tuned. I'll try and get that guild stuff on in the next episode or two. And next, we have an email from Colin. Hello, thanks again for using my ideas. Your show is just getting better and better. First off, I would like to comment on the Days Effect topic. I personally think that we should do away with the entire thing. I don't know how many times I'm running from a small army of Horde, and I'm just about to get away, and a hunter gets a lucky days on me. Also, I noticed that you gave a shout-out to another game besides World of Warcraft. I'm personally a big Halo fan, and so I think it would be really cool if you noted that this Tuesday is the day Halo 3 is given to the masses. Another thing, I think this one podcast was a bit too heavy on lore. I like the lore, I really do, but I think you may scare away some of the people if you talk about all the books and the backstories. Also, I would like to make a comment in the defense of PvP servers. Sure, you have that one level 70 that camps outside dusk for hours on end, and maybe he kills you about 20 times, but nothing fills me with more happiness when half my guild comes storming out of the town and kills him before that level 70 knows what's happened. This whole old Strathone thing has got me thinking. Why don't you just not put yourself in that character when you do the instance? Don't think of yourself as Medros killing poor, helpless citizens. Think of yourself as a real person just playing a game. Once again, maybe just a little too much lore. I don't think I'll be one of the ones sending you feedback about your love of lore. Also, you said some things about titles. Maybe you could get titles based upon the mobs you kill in PvP. Maybe if my character gets tons of orc PvP kills, he could be called so-and-so the Orc Slayer. Or maybe based on class, so-and-so Bane of Hunters. Or maybe it could be based on rep. If I got a bazillion rep for Darnassus, maybe I could be so-and-so Champion of the Night Elves. Think about it. Cheers. Well, Colin, you definitely got a lot of points in there. Let me take them in order. I don't like the Days Effect. I absolutely hate it. It is one of my biggest frustrations in the game, but it's an important effect, though I'm not sure I see the point of it in PvP. Days is, as I said, an important effect. It is one of the most important effects you can have in the game. You need to have some way to deter you from just running through that camp of mobs, not caring that somebody else is trying to kill them. There has to be some punishment if you carelessly ride around not caring who you're going near or going after, who you're interrupting or what you're doing. There needs to be some disincentive to do that. Whether I feel the Days Effect is the right way to do that, maybe not, but there needs to be some disincentive, and until Blizzard finds a better way, that is the only way they can do it at this point. I honestly would love to give a shout out to the Halo 3 players, and I do give a shout out to the Halo 3 players. I just don't know if there's any actually listening to the podcast at this point. I think most of them are probably heavily engrossed in their game right now and probably aren't listening to this podcast or any other podcast for that matter. Halo 3's gotten enough coverage in the press, and I hope everybody who plays Halo 3 really enjoys it. I'm not a player of that game, but I have played Halo 1 when it came out in the PC, so I definitely know the joy of playing Master Chief. And I hope nobody will send me what happens in the end, because maybe I'll eventually play it now. And I'd like to be surprised when I do finally get to play Halo 3. I hope that the lore in this podcast is a little less heavy for you. Let me know what you think. I'm trying to find the good medium. As I said last time, that was going to be the last time that I was going to do that much lore. I'm probably going to do alternating between a lore segment and a book segment. So the Legends of Azeroth segment will probably be every couple of shows, until I run out of books, of course. I still want to try and get a hold of the author of one of the books who I had contacted before to try and get her on the podcast, and maybe that can work out at some point. As for the defense of PvP servers, I don't really think you need to defend them. It's your play style. It's how you play. We all play our different games. We all play differently. So we all have to do what we find and what we like in game. And each of us will find that to be different things. As for Old Stratham, playing on an RP server, I find it is hard sometimes to disassociate yourself. Because, I go to Old Stratham. I get killer loot. Well, somebody asked me how I got, Mal'Ganis's sword. And, I found it lying around. Because on the lore side of things, my character would never have gone there. And there's no way I could have gotten that if I hadn't gone there. So it's balancing. And that's a big thing about the RP servers, is balancing what you do outside of character and what you do inside of character and what you have in character. Again, it's a balancing act. You just got to find the right balance. I'll probably go to Old Stratham at least once, just to see what it's like. Just to see if they do the story justice. Just to see if they get anything wrong. As for titles, I think Blizzard is trying to hesitate and prevent themselves from going the way of other games like Lord of the Rings Online, which have titles for everything. Kill 10 spiders, you get a certain title. Kill 10 more, you get another title. They don't want them to be candy. They don't want them to be given out like bottles of water. They want them to be special things that few people have. You have to fight for, you have to work your ass off to get. That's what Blizzard is trying to do, I think. And I commend them for being hesitant to make titles so rampant that anybody can have one. I think they need to loosen up a bit, but not too much. So thanks again for your email, Colin, and I hope you like this episode, and I look forward to hearing you on the next episode. Take care. And now on to some other feedback, this time from Dang Frigate, who sends the following voice file.
Hey Medros, it's Dang Frigate from the Elder Thalas server. Congratulations on your 10th show. Your piece on Karazhan last week was excellent. The production behind it was excellent, and the lore behind it was excellent. It makes me want to go out there and read that book, which I will do right after I finish the book about Thrall. And I also have a couple questions for the show. My first question is, what are your thoughts on listener submissions? What kind of submissions are you looking for? Would you like something informative? Would you like something comedic? Let me know. My second question is about role-playing. How do role-players indicate that they've leveled in a role-playing environment? Do you just walk out there and go, "My powers have increased greatly! I feel stronger! My spirit has increased! I suddenly feel more proficient with this weapon! I believe I have some new spells that I might be able to cast! Where's my trainer? I mean, how does it work? Can you explain it to me? Thanks!" And finally, my submission for The World of Warcraft movie will be coming up on us sometime in the near future. But what will it be about? What do you want it to be about? Who would you like to see in this great movie about the World of Warcraft? Me personally, I want to see the Sunwell trilogy. I want that story to be told on the big screen. Thanks again for the great show, Medros. Dang Frigate, Elder Thalas.
Thank you very much, Dang Frigate, for that voicemail, and here's my response to it. As for listener submissions, I'm willing to accept pretty much any submission, humorous, informative. If you can read the lore better than me, if you want to coordinate with other people to try and do an audio drama, let me know. I'm willing to include it if it is good, informative, pretty much anything at this point, though if things do progress where I'm getting a lot of submissions, the best will get, of course, the inclusion. I asked my guild on Argent Dawn, the Shadowwalkers, about role-playing levels and how you work that into your roleplay. The common explanation was that levels are attributed as seasons in battle, seasons in the field, however you want to word it. Basically, I've been 29 years in the field, battling the forces of evil or whatever for 29 levels kind of thing. As for new abilities, it's essentially you're now experienced enough to learn more powerful spells, new abilities that you weren't able to learn at an earlier time kind of thing. Now, as for your questions about the Realm Fantastic, about the WoW movie, what I'd like to see, I would like to see something that we haven't seen before. None of the books, none of the stories, something that we don't know already. If you just do one of the books we already have, yes, it's interesting. Yes, it's exciting to see where things have gone, and how those events are interpreted. But overall, it's too iffy. Some people will be disappointed by the fact that those stories, those events, will not meet what they expected. I'd much prefer something we don't already know. And there's a lot of stuff. There's stuff that's simply said that it happened. It doesn't say exactly how it happened. there's been word, there's been rumors, there's been statements about what might be coming, what they might do. I'm excited to see what they're going to do, but I can wait for it. So thank you very much for your voicemail, and I do hope to hear from you again in the next episode of All Things Azeroth. The next topic that I want to talk about is something that actually I had written down last week, but after I released last show, a couple of things happened that kind of showed me how helpful this could be. The idea is raid helpers. This is for groups that have already cleared Kara, who can do Kara in a night or two, and are willing to show others who maybe just got keyed around a dungeon. It's not so big in stuff like Ramparts. It's not so big in something like Gruul's Lair, though I'm sure that there are some difficulties there. It's more for the longer stuff like Karazhan, where there's several bosses, several different ways to do things, and there's a lot of trash. And the essential thing is that you would have a group that would complete the dungeon or clear a certain portion of the dungeon and then be willing to go around and show others where bosses are, where mobs are, what you can expect to see in the instance. The reason I bring this up this time especially is because last weekend I got Kara keyed. It's been a long time in coming. I was really happy to have finally done it, but I still hadn't seen Kara. I'd read up about it. I'd read some of the strategies, some of the boss information, but I still didn't know Karazhan. I didn't know the dungeon. I didn't know how they run things there. So a friend of mine, her name is Arkos from the Informalities Guild on Argent Dawn, took Medros around because they had cleared all the way up to a certain portion of the instance in Karazhan and showed me what was what, where bosses are, where mobs are, the different areas. And it may not have been super information, you know, showing me, you know, this is the boss you got to fight and so on, but it showed me the layout. And I love the layout. I love the art, the history, the stories that I read in the book Last Guardian. And it was interesting. It was exciting. It was nice to see where everything was, where everything is supposed to be. And I was actually surprised to see so many friendly mobs in there. And if I actually was in Karazhan right now, I'd actually be getting to Honored probably today sometime. What do you guys think of that? What do you think about groups that will sit there and take others in to show them how an instance is laid out before those people actually get into the instance? Sort of give them a small taste of the content without showing you the full-on, you know, difficulty of everything in the instance. Let me know what you think. Medros@allthingsazeroth.com. I'm very excited to see what you guys think of this. And hey, maybe we can try that out. Maybe we can try and get some people in to see what dungeons are like. Try that out on a few realms and see what people think of that. Because I think it's a program that could definitely be helpful to a lot of people. People who've never seen these instances, never thought they'd have a chance at it. And maybe it'll even give people the fire they need to want to continue and try those instances. Again, the email is medros@allthingsazeroth.com. There was a post on WoW Insider this week that was essentially going into how they have basically decided they're not going to be doing any more 8-piece dungeon tier sets or gear sets, basically. From now on, it's just going to be 5-piece gear. This, and noticing that a friend of mine in my guild, Yadamin, is actually still wearing a very well-put-together set of gear that looks amazing. It looks like it's a tier, a level of set gear that's all a part of a set. But it isn't. It's just random pieces from around the world that all look amazing together. I don't know if there's any sites that do this. I've seen a few places where there's links to different pieces that match together, that, you know, when all put together, they look like a set. Sometimes they are new gear that is textured to look like old gear, making people feel like they still have their old tier 2 or tier 1 gear, except, you know, with current stats. Does anybody know if there's any sites out there that do this, that put those unofficial sets together, gear that isn't officially a set, but has the look of a set when put together? Maybe even additions to the current 5-piece sets that match the set's coloring to make it look like an 8-piece set. I'm confident that Blizzard would have put something in to match those pieces, to make those sets look like sets with those extra pieces that actually fit. Again, I want to hear those sites. I want to link to those sites. I want that information. So medros@allthingsazeroth.com. I mentioned last week about the death of the World Series of Video Games. Well, I heard a couple of podcasts this week that mentioned that it was possible that a lot of PvPers and a lot of people that play WoW right now were doing it just for the chance at WSVG Championship or Fame. Does anybody out there think that there's a lot of players who will now quit WoW because they can't have that fame, that they can't have those sponsorships? Is there people out there who that's the only reason they're playing WoW? I have a hard time believing that, but I don't really know the entirety of WoW. I can't say that I speak for everybody. So if you know somebody who plays just for that, I'd love to be able to get an email from them just giving their reasons for that. Is it really worth all that time leveling to 70, getting all that great gear, learning all of the intricacies of your class just to get possibly into the World Series of Video Gaming? And is there any other championship leagues out there right now that can replace it in the eyes of those who were playing just for that fame, just for that goal? Let me know. Again, Medros@allthingsazeroth.com. And now for a quick character update. Medros, Arita, and Amelind are all level 70. Arita has some really nice gear, decent Kara gear, almost 700 attack power, and is quickly getting up there in ability to actually do some decent DPS. Some nice crits, some nice ability to kick some major butt. Medros is Kara-tuned, and actually did his first Kara run on Tuesday. I am working on getting Arita and Amelind both Kara-attuned, though I'm not sure when that will happen. And my characters are progressing quite well in the level 70 range. As for my two Draenei, I recently redid one of my hunter's professions to enchanting instead of skinning. I already have one skinner, so I can always go back and farm stuff if I need to, but at this point I just don't feel the need to have two skinners in the game. Talon is level 26 and is currently out of rested experience, so I'm not playing him actively right now. Treloon is level 24, and I plan to be playing him for a fair bit in the next few days just to kill his rested experience and get him as much XP as I possibly can. So that's about where I stand with my characters. Both Arita and Medros have epic birds. Medros has a drake. Arita is within half of a rep level away from having his own drake. And my characters are progressing nicely. I'm not sure when I'll get my epic bird for Amelind. He just doesn't really need one at this point, simply because he doesn't do much farming that requires fast flight. Most of his farming is skinning and farming up plans, so that's about it. He has 365 leatherworking, 375 skinning. Medros and Arita are both 375 for their skinning and for their professions, the gathering and the crafting. All three of my 70s are 375 cooks, and I have plenty of spicy crawdads and good foods to go around. Arita's had two Mr. Pinchies, which is what I want to get because I want to get the crawdad pet. Unfortunately, no crawdad pets have come from it, so we'll have to see. But I'm told that the more you get, the better your chances of getting a crawdad pet go up. So we'll see what happens, I suppose. There's one thing that I want to talk for a brief moment about, and that is that it seems like a lot of fans and a lot of fan sites have pretty much ignored that we just got 2.2 a day and a half ago, and are already looking towards 2.3. And while there are some great things coming in 2.3, no doubt about it. Ret Paladins are getting some really nice changes, apparently. Professions are getting buffed. Zul'aman should be in patch 2.3, as well as guild banking. I'm really excited about all these changes. Elemental Shamans are going to get a good buff. Various other classes are getting good buffs. There's really no reason at this point, though, I think, to rush ahead of ourselves. We don't even have the full features of 2.2 enabled on all realms yet. The dust hasn't even settled from 2.2, and that we're still getting realm restarts. We're still getting a lot of various changes. I just think it's too early to be moving on already to patch 2.3. One thing that engineers, I'm sure, will absolutely love in the 2.3 patch is that Blizzard is progressing towards gnomish flying mounts. Gnomish flying machines, I suppose you could call them, in patch 2.3, though they didn't quite say what aspect we would see that in, whether it be a complete recipe or whatever. They'll also be getting a new field repair bot recipe, though we're not exactly sure when that'll be in, if it'll be in for 2.3 or perhaps sooner, or maybe even later. Another thing coming in for 2.3 is several different types of daily quests. Some of the daily quests will have to do with battlegrounds, others will actually have to do with high-level cooking, and you will need high-level cooking, at least 370 to 375 to do that, so get your cooking up there, and definitely enjoy that when the patch comes out. I know we had a Realm Fantastic from Dang Frigate, and I don't want to steal his thunder, so to speak. I did want to hear from you in what you would do if you could have one buff to your class that would not break other classes, but would make your class significantly improved over what it currently is. What would it be? I want to hear your Realm Fantastic. I want to hear the one thing you think is unlikely, but would still be absolutely amazing to hear. So send that to Medros@allthingsazeroth.com. Quickly, before I finish this episode of All Things Azeroth, I did want to quickly, very briefly, go into a few comments about a few things that I've heard on other podcasts lately. In a review of information out of Austin's Game Developers Conference, where Mike Morhaime spoke, the instance number 78 commented a bit about some of the pressures on Blizzard to do the right thing, to put out their games early, so to speak. Though I'm not sure I could quite qualify that as the right thing. Blizzard has made their style of release it when it's done, popular. They have constantly, consistently released something when it was done, not when others thought it would be more beneficial and more profitable to the company. There's many pressures on Blizzard to release a game before it's ready, to release it at a time when it is popular and useful to players and to accountants and to those who want to make money from the game. Blizzard has proven that they don't need those times, they don't need those schedules in order to make games sell well, to sell amazing numbers of copies. Diablo was released on New Year's Eve, in a time before Boxing Week sales, and yet it did amazingly well. The Burning Crusade smashed records, and it was released in mid-January. I agree with the instance in that Burning Crusade was the best-selling, and that Christmas rushes are an excuse to put out subpar games for a public uneducated about how games are made and what a good game and a quality game is. I do, however, disagree with Scott and Randy on the instance about the World of Warcraft launch. I will admit, I haven't played other games. I haven't played other MMOs at their launch point. I don't know what their launches were like. Blizzard has said the reason why the Burning Crusade was 2 years in coming was because it was put on hold for 6 months after WoW's launch because there were so many problems to deal with. Blizzard didn't realize that WoW was going to be so popular. They had a lot of growing pains. They were dealing with a market that was 400,000 players beforehand. They had 1 million before the month was up. Blizzard has made a game that has broken records, that has smashed every record in the MMO industry. They were a victim of their own popularity, but to say that World of Warcraft's release had no problems, that it was just fine and peachy dandy, that is not quite an accurate statement. There were a lot of problems. There were a lot of issues, and all due respect to Scott and Randy, I really don't feel that it was an accurate characterization of the launch of WoW to say that it was problem-free. It had problems, they overcame those problems, and they more than made up for those problems. But there were still problems. I want everybody to have a great week, and I do hope you listen to the next episode of All Things Azeroth. You can find me on Facebook. My name on there is Dwight Walbridge. Look in the MP3 file for the data in the file for the name and spelling of my name. I do look forward to hearing from you on Facebook. You can also find me at allthingsazeroth.com, shadowwalkersguild.com, and many other places around the internet. I hope to see some of you reviewing the podcast over at iTunes to try and overcome some of the negative or more negative reviews that we've had in the past. And I do hope that we'll see more information out of Blizzard as the Wrath of the Lich King comes closer and we see what comes up and what happens regarding this game that we all love and we all pay every month to play. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Send me an email if you have any questions, comments, and again, if you want to send in any audio feedback, any audio content, any audio production, adding to the show, please, medros@allthingsazeroth.com. If it's over 10 meg file, send it to cdngeek@gmail.com. And I hope to hear from you soon. Thanks a lot for tuning in. This has been All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. Take care. Happy hunting. See you at Outlands. This has been a Dwight Walbridge production, and as such is copyright 2007 by Dwight Walbridge Productions. Please visit us at allthingsazeroth.com.